the formal public comment. Please, A, either take your seat or if you can move extraneous conversations out into the corridor. TCEQ staff, I'm sorry to interject, but the TCEQ staff all need to sit. Okay, I'm going to begin the meeting. Today is March 25th, 2024. I am opening the formal comments portion of this public meeting for BM Dorchester LLC. Application for an air quality permit number. The permit numbers are 167047, PSDTX 1602, and GHG PSDTX 212. Okay. As a reminder, during the taking of the formal comments, neither the TCEQ staff nor the applicant will verbally respond. This is your opportunity, your time to voice concerns, comments in the form of statements, in the form of questions, onto the official TCEQ record. We are making a recording that we will take back to the agency with us. As staff mentioned earlier, these comments and questions that you're going to be presenting now will be responded to in the executive director's written response. I have collected all the registrations of people who signed up thus far to make those comments. I'm going to call you in the order that you signed up. So if you're standing in line, you may want to take a seat because you will be called in the order that I have your registration form. All right, I'm just going to go ahead and apologize right now. I may mispronounce your name. It happens every time. I mean no offense. Please, when it's your turn, come on up here. Correct me. State your first and last name for the record. Again, that's going to be the public mic to amplify and to record. Okay, so I'm going to start first with our legislators. So Representative Reggie Smith and Senator Drew Springer, you are both invited to come on up. Do you want to? Okay. Let me move out of your.
No, you're fine.
Are you good? Okay. You can use this slide and use the podium.
Okay.
All right. Thank you again, and especially for your respect to our visitors, as well as our TCEQ agency folks for being here. Again, Senator Drew Springer, I'm going to mention a few things because I think that we're sort of in a unique situation in Texas and with our growth and the things that we're doing. We've never issued one of these air quality permits in an area as heavily populated as Grayson County is. They have always started much lower. And I think that precedent should continue to stand today. Because while we respect everybody's First Amendment right, it ends when you hit my nose. And private property rights are the same way. And when we see the air quality, and knowing that intermittent mining operations from blasting are considered intermittent and not combined with that to be a violation is a challenge and should be factored in as we continue to look at this. For those who don't know, within about a mile radius of Dorchester, there's well over 3,500 homes that are already platted to be developed and built. In a five-mile radius or a little less, maybe closer to three, I know of at least 12,000, closer probably to 20,000 homes that have been platted. And that's just from a few developers that are doing large scale. That doesn't take into effect the small ones. That this will substantially change the makeup of the county because of the air quality. Because as we continue to go, and you don't have to go far to see, the Fort Worth paper, talk about Midlothian and the EPA last year, March of last year, coming down, talking about the sickness and the illnesses that are around Midlothian, where 6 of the 10 largest polluters in the DFW area are cement kilns in Ellis County. Grayson County should not be in that same category with that. I like to say, and look, you know, we continue to see 1,100 people a day come to Texas, and an awful lot of them are moving to Grayson County. And we have to have places for them to live, and we know we have to have resources. And I can respect a company that tries to fill that need, but there's a right place for those type of things. And I think Texas has won enough, and Oklahoma ought to win something for a change. Okay. Everybody knows I always like to have something funny on that from aspect of it. But it really is. It is a challenge because of that. And, you know, part of the problem in the permit is the permit talks about they can do blasting. But comments that have been made publicly is we're not going to blast. Well, I would say then let's have a permit done that does not include blasting to be part of that. Because one of the things, while it kicks up dust and particles that are intermittent, it's not intermittent for the billions of dollars that are moving to Grayson County to keep the United States safe. Because right now, most of our chips and the wafers that those chips are built on are built in Taiwan and China. And we have a chance as the United States with the CHIP Act that Texas passed, and the money of your tax dollars, we gave Texas Instruments, Global Wafers, and we'll give more to build the tech industry where they're bringing thousands of jobs, paying hundreds of thousands of dollars per job. When air quality is going to change that. And for those of you who are maybe a little more gray-haired like me, may not quite understand this, and I've had to be educated up by Wyatt and the guys from Global Wafers, but when you go into these clean rooms, the air is 100 times cleaner than what it is right now that we're breathing. The cost, that potentially disruption of that, could be staggering. It may stop the next company from co-locating next to them as we see C-75 becoming that tech corridor because of our air quality. And so we have to ask ourselves, is this the right place? Is this the right permit? Are we doing the right thing? And I say no. When we talk about blasting, and it's not in the permit, because it's not the air quality, but that seismic activity can actually ruin that wafer that those chips are built upon. And so while we worry about clean air, I worry about the economy. I worry about your tax dollars we have taken from you and given to companies to invest to create these great jobs, not only in Grayson County, but in Cook County where I live, in Fannin County, and everywhere else through Texas, that we need to take those into account. I'm going to ask the executive director for TCEQ and the commissioners, because of the outpouring of citizens that are here tonight, that we extend the comment period to the end of the week so that we can have our friends and neighbors who were unable to be here today to be able to make their comments. The news media is here covering it. That is what makes America great. That's why we're not Russia or China. We don't suppress these kind of things. We debate them in public. And we want your input. And we want your neighbor's input. And so I'm going to ask them to extend that. If we are so granted, and I hope, and I will be making calls to the commissioner on my drive home, if that is, you can look at my social media feed, websites, Reggie Smith's, and we will put the emails, the context, if you don't have a quick link that you can be able to go. I know the judge will do the same, the mayor, and everybody else will as well, because we want your input. We need to know, Texas needs to know that sometimes, just because you could check every box, doesn't make it common sense. And we know what's right and wrong. And those are the reasons that I've written the governor, the commissioners, and my letter has been published and will be reposted again so you can actually see the comments I make. That is why this permit should not go forward. We've worked with legislation. You know, this isn't new to me. I know when I was first in the business, you know, people would say cement and they were talking about concrete, and it gets confusing to a lot of people because they hear about batch plants, where when you're pouring concrete, you've got so many minutes before it has to be out to be able to use it. I used to build cement rail cars for a living for CEMEX down in Mexico that shipped cement all over North America. So it didn't have to necessarily be in our backyard to be successful and run those type of operations. And so I think there's a right place and a right time for these, and common sense prevails that this is the wrong location in Texas. God has blessed these gentlemen and these owners of these companies that whatever they paid for that land has probably gone up several fold since then, and I don't think it'll be a financial problem with that. And again, we're a free market economy or a free market society, but we have to take in, and there is a spot for government to step in and say, this is not the right thing at the right time. Now is it. I will stand with Reggie Smith, whoever my predecessor is coming in, Reggie's, and continue to fight. While I may not serve you, I will make sure, because I think it is the right thing to do for our community, is the right thing to do for my kids, my grandkids, your grandkids, and great-grandkids. So God bless you. We'll keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Drew. Let's give him another hand. That's a senator. That's a state senator. Thank you, brother. Listen, he's been a pleasure to work with, and I want to point out a couple other people who have been a real pleasure to work with. I mean, by virtue of our offices, we get to stand up here and make these speeches, but I want to sit down and hear from you. But before I do that, you need to know who's really been behind the scenes working hard to get the presentations that are made, to do all the technical things that have to be done legally to make this record complete, so that when we do, or when it is filed, the complaint, that it has the best chance of being successful. Ladies and gentlemen, the mayor of Dorchester, David Smith, please stand. City Councilman of Dorchester, please stand. I know you're here. Yes, you are. Thank you. County Judge of Grayson County and Commissioners, please stand. Mayor of Sherman, David Plowler, please stand. And I'm sure I'm missing a bunch. Other elected officials, please stand. Just don't get me in trouble here. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sheriff. Yes. I can tell you with integrity, because I've been watching it, every one of these folks have been working seamlessly. And SEDCO, Kent Sharp, down here, that's a huge one. Kent, please stand. Sherman Economic Development Corporation, and Denison's been involved. Your county government, your municipal governments that are affected have really come together to work hard on this, and it's been an amazing thing to watch. I've been glad to just to be a small part of it. It was incredible. Ground zero is Dorchester, Texas. If you cannot take care of the least of these, the smallest cities, you cannot take care of the biggest ones. Does that make sense? This woman comes up a moment ago. This woman comes up a moment ago and she goes, would you raise your children right there? Would you have a home right there at that property line? Would you put your children in that school right there at Dorchester Baptist Church? That's right. You know, these folks have a great job to do, and they do it well. And it's a tough job to do, as you can tell. But a lot of times these situations, it's the biggest form over substance thing I've ever seen in my life, right? Because at the end of the day, there's a stack of rules this high. There's a stack of law this high. But they're surely to God, not any of those rules or laws that say that you have to leave your common sense at that door. Do you think? I don't think so. We have to think about the kids. We have to think about the livestock. We have to think about the way of life that we have here in Grayson County. And I want to echo and amen what your senator just talked about. We have the largest corporate investment in Texas history with TI here. Yes, in Texas history. Globotech and Mark England and some of his executives are here tonight. We appreciate you being here. They are making a $6 billion investment. And then the way this works is you have these two crowning investments, and then there are all these other corporate investments that come around it. Everything from Chick-fil-A on up, right? And those of us who grew up around here may be a little bit sensitive about that, right? Because our little hometown is kind of changing, okay? But it's going to change whether we like it or not. So the question is, are we going to manage the growth? Well, what we have is historic growth. And it's not only for Grayson County. It's for Texas. And as you heard the senator say, it's not only for Texas, it's for the country. This chip manufacturing conglomerate that's coming in here is about national security. Because right now, we're buying our chips from China. Or as President Trump would say, China. We can't, that's untenable. We can't keep doing that. We have right here, gentlemen, ladies, in Grayson County, the start of what is ultimately going to become a national security hub in reality. It may be totally different than anything you've ever seen. Anything. It's an amazing thing. What can cause a problem for that? You wouldn't think that a relatively minor investment of 600 acres over in Dorchester, Texas would do that. But when you talk about the precision that's necessary for the manufacturing of these chips, the seismic things that occur, and I know we're here talking about air, and I know we can't talk about water, and we can't talk about this, and we can't talk about that. But let's talk about it. The seismic part of it, if it affects that, you know, these guys got to go back and they've got to answer to their shareholders. And I hate to keep talking about corporations, but it affects it all. They have to go back and talk to their shareholders. And they go to their shareholders and they say, is it a safe place for us to invest another $15 billion in the ground over in Grayson County? And they say, well, actually, we've got a seismic problem because we've got a kiln over in Dorchester, Texas that keeps disrupting things. That's a problem. In fact, I believe that we've had one U.S. senator talk about this particular issue of late. In the last few months, it's recognized at every level of your government. But today, the citizens of Grayson County have responded. You, by coming out here tonight, even though we're not all lawyers, we don't for sure know what we're doing on this TCEQ stuff all the time, but what we do know is that we love Grayson County, that we know what's best for Grayson County. It is our county, and by God, these people are going to listen to you. Do you agree? And I will tell you, having known them all for a while, I think that they are. I think they're listening to you. So, I'm just going to wrap it up. I want to hear from you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being great Texans. Thank you for being great citizens of Grayson County. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to represent you in the Texas House. Thank you very much.
Okay, so here, yes, we are here to hear you, and this is the most important part of the meeting. I am going to set a 3-minute timer. I will simply use my phone to do so. So as to not interrupt you and you can start summarizing, I will give you a 1-minute warning, and then I'll call time at 3 and we'll move on to the next. Again, I have about 50 people in counting. There's more still coming. So we're going to need to move efficiently. What I'm going to go ahead and do is call up the first few so that you know where you're at and so that you know that you're coming up. We're going to be starting, is that Bruce Dalsey, the county judge, who will be followed by Jeff Whitmire, that's close, followed by, is it David Plyer? Pyler, David, okay. So you know, Kent Sharp. Carla McDonald, David Smith, Sarah, is it Myrick? Okay, so that is our first lineup. Again, when you state your first and last name, I will start the time. Yes, sir, when you're ready.
My name is Bruce Dossey. I am the Grayson County Judge, and I hate that I have to follow Drew Springer and Reggie Smith because they are amazing speakers, and they are absolutely spot on. This is not something that Grayson County needs. This is an issue that goes beyond just the air quality. I know TCEQ is in charge of water and other resources, but the fact that we're only here discussing air quality is a joke because of the vast impact that this is going to have on our county. You know, there are going to be many people tonight who are going to voice all our reasons why we don't want this kiln in our county, but I really only have two questions to ask. And it pertains to the basic thing of the application. How can we trust Black Mountain to follow the compliance rules when they cannot even fill out the TCEQ application correctly? You listed the school district as Gunner. You're in Dorchester, which is Howe. There are numerous things you forgot to put that the airport's on there. So to say that, well, we'll have to find out what the FAA says, why didn't you list that on the application? So, and then to TCEQ, and it's not just the air quality. I understand you're looking at solely air quality, but the organization as a whole, how are we supposed to trust TCEQ, the regulatory agency responsible for oversight, to correctly monitor this company when the application was filled in inaccurate in its answers? So how you're asking us that, oh, we're experts in our field, we're this and we're that, but there are simple little things about an application that should be done accurately and honestly and not for the sake of air quality studies that were done in Denton when we're 180 feet higher where this location is going to be, and those particulate matters are going to drift not only outside of the property lines but all the way to Hagerman Wildlife Refuge, which is a federal migratory standard. The water issue that we can't talk about, Lake Texoma, which feeds not only Grayson County's water, but also down into the Metroplex. Not to mention over into Oklahoma and our Native American nations that are over there. All of this is going to go south or north because of our south prevailing winds. So, in closing, this kiln will be bad for our county's environment, its citizens, and our current industry standards, our industry partners. We are, as the senator and the representative said, we are a growing county. We are not what you could build 20, 30 years ago. The technology and the industry and the growth that's coming to our area is unsurpassed. And I'll stop at that.
That's time. Thank you. Yes, sir. First and last name.
Yes. Once again, I'm Jeff Whitmire with Grayson County. I'm the commissioner representing the Dorchester area, most of South Sherman. The fastest growing part of Grayson County is in my precinct. So many of these people here who are affected are my constituents. And so I've listened to them, and I see the impact it's going to have on those local residents. But even further than that, I have in this room, there's property owners that own in excess of 30,000 acres that we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars worth of land value that is probably going to be impacted. We've got the biggest tech giants out there who are investing billions of dollars that may end up going away and not being worth anything. They are going to be actively digging down and into an area that the groundwater is only about 250 to 300 feet deep. And we are going to have contamination of that water source with what they're doing. And we will be working with the Red River Conservation District to prevent them from being able to get the well access. I know that's not your issue. That is our issue, and we're going to fight it with everything we can. Further, We fully expect that there's going to be an enormous amount of litigation that goes on with our industries who are detrimentally impacted by the activities of this. And Grayson County will be right in there with them, fully supporting those actions. So I don't know how deep a pockets Black Mountain has, but I don't think you have as deep a pockets as some of our industries that are here and what the impact is going to be. So be ready for a law enforcement fight, a litigation fight, and we strongly encourage you not to do this permit.
Okay, thank you. Next up, first and last name.
Yes, my name is David Plyler. I'm mayor of the city of Sherman. Good evening. Welcome to Grayson County. I'm sorry. As you entered Grayson County and made your way to this venue, I'm sure you noticed you're driving on highways that are being enlarged and modernized, and that our industrial park is expanding and growing at a historic pace. In fact, there's one project under construction that is so vibration sensitive that there is a special structure within the facility required to not even allow the slightest vibration. This specific project is also a recipient of one of Texas' highest awards from the Texas Enterprise Fund, making all Texans an investor in this facility. In Grayson County, we have record-breaking private investment, record-breaking job creation numbers, and a thriving, growing economy because of people in this room this evening. You see, over the years, these folks have created a community with the potential to achieve what is happening today through hard work, oftentimes risky investments, and a can-do attitude resulting in an ample water supply, lands that are conducive to industrial development, and an infrastructure that is expandable and ample to support these mega projects. This is directly related to the large turnout this evening. This kiln and mining operation is a threat to all we have achieved. The dangerous emissions being carried over our industrial park and the new Sherman High School are absolutely concerning. Add blasting and mining vibration to the rock layers, and it will have a chilling effect on these precision manufacturing firms. The city of Sherman and Grayson County have been recognized as a high-tech corridor by the federal government because of the historic high-tech investments in our city, one being the largest by dollars and size in Texas history. In addition, the state of Texas and the federal government have significantly invested in workforce training and other support efforts and are large stakeholders in the success of our local businesses, which means everyone are large stakeholders in the success of these local businesses. And that means our plea to you is to safeguard these investments for all of us, safeguard our clean air attainment zone, and let our local economy continue to win governor cups and keeps Texas number one in high-tech industries in the nation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next up, first and last name, sir.
My name is Kent Sharp, and I'm the president of the Sherman Economic Development Corporation. That's a mouthful, so we call ourselves SEDCO. I've got prepared testimony. I'll submit it to you in writing, but basically between Senator Springer, everybody that's came before me has taken everything that I was going to say. So let me just add this. I'm just a staff. You heard from elected officials so far. I'm the first staff person. At SEDCO, our mission is to try to work with industries to bring in primary jobs, companies that have state, national, and international markets, and we work very close. We've got a very strong bond with our local industries. In November 2021, as you've heard, Texas Instruments announced the largest economic development in Texas history with $30 billion state-of-the-art chip plant. 7 months later, Global Wafers announced a $5 billion advanced node, 300 millimeter wafer, silicon wafer production. It's very important because those wafers have not been made in the United States in the last 20 years. That production all went over to Asia. We were able to bring that back. That was not just a local effort. That was a state effort. There was some national help because it is so critical to our national security. It's a big investment in Texas. Each of those companies, the 30 billion and the 5 billion, are being done in four phases. As you drove in today, you probably saw the first phase of TI and the first phase of Global Wafer. We were on the front line of working out. The mayor, the county commissioners, our school district, we can all attest how many sleepless nights we had competing for that against other countries, against other states here in the United States, working with the governor's office. I'm just here to tell you, and it's not a warning, but it's just a fair, it's just a fact. These same people are not going to risk 26% or 75% of the investment that has not been made yet. The first 25% you're seeing going in right now, but there's 75% remaining. We will fight in the political courts or in the political arenas. We will fight in the judicial arenas and any other arena. And we will bring every resource. I've been told, instructed, you bring every resource that you can to bear this fight. I think you've already heard that with some of our elected officials. So just urge TCEQ to deny this application. We don't need that here. We've got too many good things going on here. Find another plant for the, or place for the cement plant.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Your first and last name?
My name is Carla McDonald, and I'm the mayor for City of Howe. The City of Howe is concerned about the negative effects of Black Mountain on our citizens and their health. The City of Howe relies on 3 ground wells and surface water from Lake Lavon as its source of drinking water. As the groundwater feeds our wells and runoff water feeds Lake Lavon, our water source is vulnerable to various kinds of contaminations. Pollutants cause groundwater to become unsafe to drink for people, domestic animals, and wildlife, harming local vegetation and farming. In their PSD study, Black Mountain still has not taken accountability by addressing water contamination or runoff, water runoff from the facility. This will affect our water supply. Citizens are at risk of suffering various health issues, including but not limited to asthma or breathing conditions due to dust, fuel, and chemicals, including sulfuric acid, nitrogen oxides, and carbon monoxide. The school district of Dorchester is Howe ISD, not Gunter ISD. The children in both Howe and Dorchester are directly affected because our children will be attending schools at sites located less than a few miles from Black Mountain. The City of Howe services Dorchester for their fire and EMS needs. We do not have the equipment or the manpower to ensure proper safety of the Black Mountain Quarry. As mayor of the City of Howe, I strongly oppose Black Mountain cement plant coming to this area. Black Mountain will only create a mountain of negative environmental and health and economic problems for our community. We do not want a Black Mountain of problems in our lovely community. I want to plead with TCEQ and ask that you would not allow the proposed Black Mountain cement plant and limestone quarry to move into the community of Dorchester or Grayson County. Thank you.
Thank you. First and last name.
David Smith, City of Dorchester. I'm here this evening with some additional questions and comments. I've received information that from an air engineering standpoint on the submit application that the wrong surface roughness category has been used considering the facility, that the emissions on the study would not be in an acceptable range for PSD or NAACS. This does not consider the other bad data points used, such as being a major emitter. An on-site meteorological study should have been completed, which will show an elevation around 180 feet greater than Denton. The difference in wind speed and consistency would change all data in your application, and change would be higher than allowed. If the haul road, raw material handling, and blasting of the quarry operations were included as legally required federally, this alone would also put it above the required limits. With all 3 of these in this picture, it is unforeseeable this facility would ever be approved if the permit was considered with the correct data at this location. I know you have mentioned the quarry operations, but I would like to challenge you on that if you go to the EPA, that I believe it's Section 40, that they require states in 70 or 71 that y'all that you follow the EPA standards, and that's for y'all to be able to work these permits for them. So are you going to put that at risk? Looking at the questionnaire part of the application, the incorrect answers are the school district bilingual language requirement, charter school within 3,000 feet, incorrect maps, the current back that current back was being used is incorrect. You know, there's already cement kilns that as they renew or as they come, there's something called a regenerative thermal oxidizer. I know it's expensive, but, you know, that's not included in any of the plans I've seen. I could go on, but the slipshod work is apparent, and this application is not complete or accurate, nor follows normal current practices for an air study according to some engineers, much less an application that people's health, livelihoods, businesses, and environmental impacts would ever be considered by TCEQ personnel. I was told the maps did not matter when I inquired lately about them continuously being incorrect, then corrected somewhat, then changed back to the latest submission of site maps. This facility should be miles from a town or business development. I would ask the TCEQ personnel if they'd be complicit if I set a sulfuric acid mister outside their homes.
Okay. So that's time if you want to make a last statement, and you could also turn those in.
I would like to ask, that was City of Dorchester, I'm also a local resident and a manager of a grain elevator, if I could have 3 more minutes, and then I won't have to sign back up and come back.
Okay, so hold on. So as the mayor, you've spoken and you want to speak. If I can allow this for the mayor, I cannot extend anyone else's time. Is that understood?
Yes.
Okay, so no one else will get an extension, but we will give the mayor an additional 3.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Because of the location of this facility, the FDA would have to be contacted. For a food facility that is not on the map that uses ambient air to aerate and condition the stored grain, FCC would be involved with the blocking of broadband internet signal that has been promoted by the federal government for rural areas. There would be probable legal claims each year of over $100 million, not just from the tech sector, but from the degradation of crops in the area, livestock, and agricultural production. The EPA would be requested because of the PSD is falsely covering air events, but needed water pollution and plans would be required for Lake Texoma, the Trinity Watershed, Choctaw Watershed, and Harriman Wildlife Refuge that was also bring in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And in the PSD permit that you are proposing to approve, it says you have to consider the water quality. So who are y'all going to – how are y'all doing that? If that's not enough, the FAA would have to consider the facility's danger to the airport next door because of the slope impediment. Such a dangerous level starts at a 20-to-1 slope. This facility would be an extremely dangerous 5 or 6-to-1 slope from the airport runway, also blocking the view of the pilots landing or taking off of flocks of birds, leaving the settling and cooling ponds of the proposed kiln facility until too late to avoid. Last but not least is the Dorchester noise ordinances that should prohibit 24 operation to protect the safety, health, and quiet enjoyment of our residents that are and will be located at such a close proximity. The thought after all this would be to lead to why. Have BM's engineers informed them of the proper procedures that would be done for a major emitter and PSD and what the results would be? What would be the purpose of a construction permit for a facility that would not pass for an actual Title V permit if constructed? I would think answers would be to flip and sell the construction permit for someone else to have the end problems possibly. Would it be to leverage for the company to know they have pressure, whether requested or not, for a payout not to construct from the area or tech industry? When does the TCEQ staff get involved and require the correct studies, information, and correct input for the PSD and air modeling to be done to allow a correct application and a review with proper data and studies. I call for this application to be either withdrawn or denied.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay. Yes, ma'am, first and last name.
Yes, my name's Sarah Myrick. I have served as a community leader, and I live within 5 miles of the proposed plant with 3 generations of my family, but today I stand in front of you as a member of the City Council of the City of Howe. I'm going to take it back to basics because I don't understand groundwater and I don't understand emissions, and really I feel very new to all of this. But what I do understand is how to check out boxes in an application. So as we've talked about, the application states that Gunter Schools is the appropriate school district to meet the requirement for an alternate language posting for public notice. The closest Gunter School is 6 miles. The closest Howe School is 5 miles. I live less than a mile from that. That makes Howe School District the proper district for the appropriate language checklist. As the TCEQ knows, they have a very handy checklist that when they call the school district, they're supposed to ask certain questions to see if they meet the requirement for an alternative language posting. As a matter of fact, the Howe School District has 17% emergent bilingual students in Summit Hill Elementary, 8.5% in the intermediate school, and 10.6% in the middle school in the years 2022-2023. Because of these statistics, as listed with the Texas Education Agency, where I found them, Howe Public Schools is required to have a bilingual education program. They received a waiver for the 2022-2023 school year and filed a bilingual exception and ESL waiver application in October 2023 for this school year. I have submitted those things electronically so that you can see them online. The fact is, the alternative language posting requirement was not met. The permit should be rejected and resubmitted by IBM Dorchester once the correct public notice has been done. But there's a deeper issue here. We have 7 emails in the last 30 days where a TCEQ employee has corrected the application that IBM Dorchester filled out. In one, there's even advice on how to get this public meeting done before the new PM 2.5 standard comes around. And he never fixed or advised them on the school district. It's a glaring issue. It feels like a intentional omission in the change of the application. So here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask that you not only reject the application, but that you assure this public that the new person who oversees the permit opportunity is actually impartial and will follow all the rules as it needs to be. Thank you.
Okay, the next group of people, please listen for your name. And if you want to make your way closer, there are a few open seats here. The next group of people will be Gary Bennett, followed by Art Clayton, followed by Josh Marr, Steve Miller, and Bobby Overby. So that is the next group of people. Again, there's some open seats here if you want to get closer or if you want to stay in line. And I appreciate your support of your neighbors, but we definitely want to hear them. I will not give you additional time if the applause is disrupting your comments. So please speak very closely to the mic so that your comments are recorded. I encourage you to continue because your time will continue. So just be mindful, maybe softer claps, just so we can assure to get their comments on the record. Okay. First and last name, sir, and your time will begin.
My name is Gary Bennett. I'm a Dorchester citizen for 61 years. A major concern, which is water quality due to the blasting of the limestone, which is the very filter of the aquifers and the surface water runoff after the rains from this proposed facility. I understand we're at an air quality permit, but water is a major key issue. About a third of this property's runoff will drain into the waters of the Trinity River Basin. The remaining two-thirds will drain into the Choctaw Water Basin. These two river basins play a vital role in Texas, serving a life for water supply, and ecosystem health. This water could contain contaminants from the equipment, spills, leaks during the mining and blasting process, and the health hazard materials emitted from the kiln smokestacks that will eventually fall to the ground, which will be washed into streams, rivers, and lakes during rainfall. The definition of a natural aquifer, natural recharge, is with rain, snowmelt, rivers, and lakes. These are the same aquifers that supply approximately 23 city or municipality wells. This number comes from an 8-mile circle from the proposed mine. 3 from the city of Southmead, 3 wells from the city of Howe, 7 wells from the city of Sherman, 2 from the city of Gunner, 4 from Mustang Special Utility District, 3 from Luella Water Supply, and 1 Dorchester well, and 1 under construction. I will end with a quote from Benjamin Franklin. When the well is dry, we know the worth of water. Thank you for hearing my concerns.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Clayton.
My name is Art Clayton. I'm an assistant district attorney. I represent Grayson County in civil matters for the past year, and I'm humbled to be here with all of y'all today. I'm concerned about our water. I'm concerned about our air. I'm concerned about the runoff that's going to go into our tributaries and affect our animals and our livestock. I'm concerned about our children and the long-term health effects that are going to be suffered by people in this county. I got to come back here because I went to college here, and I love this place, and I care about it. And everyone here does, too. So what I'm going to urge you, counsel, you talked about the public welfare. You did not go to law school to check a box. You went to law school to do something great, okay? You know the effects that these things are going to have upon us, and it's not right. You can deny this application. You can do that. You can do something awesome for all of these people that are good, God-fearing people. They deserve you to be a public servant. I've been a public servant for 24 years, and that's an awesome, awesome thing. Don't just check a box because they filled in the paperwork. The information for this application came in the 11th hour. There were a ton of mistakes. Did they even mention the airport that's so close? You've heard about all of these buildings that are being made, all of these companies coming to our jurisdiction, all of these residences that are going to be built. If you want to come down, we will go through all the developments that are coming into the county, all the people that want to live here that will be affected by this. Every one of them are important. And earlier you were asked, would you let your child live there? I didn't hear an answer. Shame on you. We don't want you here. Please be a public servant. The way this works is if we fail at this part and they pass the application, we can then ask for a contested hearing. And we're going to do that.
Keep your comments on the mic. Use the mic.
Your county commissioners are all against this, and so is your county judge. And if we fail there, we can then have a lawsuit. We're ready to fight.
All right, thank you. Yes, sir. First and last name.
Hi, I'm Josh Marr, resident with Van Alstine, Texas. Earlier I had a question. I know y'all say we're here for only air permit. Said we can't talk about the water permit. The question was asked, what about the FFA or FAA? I support our FFA, by the way. My question I wanted to pose is, are y'all going to build the site once all these permits are obtained, or are you going to build when you obtain one permit and not worry about the other permits going forward? So I think the public would like that answer. I want to speak to some of the inaccuracies on the application that y'all applied for. In there it does ask, are the proposed facilities located within 100 kilometers, which is 62 miles, or less of an affected state or Class 1 area? Class 1 area is designated by the EPA as being about over 10,000-acre wildlife refuge or national monument, and had to be done before 1970. Y'all are correct in saying that you're not, because the Davis Mountains, which are 255 kilometers away, are the closest Class 1 area. However, as spoke on earlier, we do have some national wildlife refuges and some grasslands that are close. Some of these do meet the criteria of the Class 1, although they are not. This includes Hagerman Wildlife Refuge. A direct line to that is 23 kilometers from this site. Tishomingo Wildlife Refuge, this is 71 kilometers from the build site. We have the Caddo National Grasslands, this is 68 kilometers from the build site. We have the Lyndon B. Johnson National Grasslands, this is 86 kilometers from the build site. We have the Blue River Public Fishing and Hunting Area in Oklahoma, this is 89 kilometers from the build site. And we also have the Arbuckle Springs Wildlife Management Area, this is at 99.37 kilometers from the build site. So as these are not rated as Class 1 areas, I do believe that an environmental study needs to be done with these wildlife, because all the particulates up in the air does affect these, and our migratory birds coming through the areas, and all our wildlife, our bald eagles, all that stuff. Also, in address to that, is a proposed facility located within 100 kilometers of the affected state. Y'all said no. Well, there is an affected state that is pretty close to us, that is Oklahoma. Y'all are also supposed to mail out notifications about the public hearing to any other state, affected state, or tribal nations, and y'all did not do that. And we have the Chickasaw Nation in Oklahoma as close as 34 kilometers, and then we also have the Choctaw Nation as close as 46 kilometers, and none of those governing bodies or Indian governments have been contacted about this public hearing.
So that's time. Okay, so... Next up is Mr. Miller, and as Mr. Steve Miller approaches, let me first make this announcement. There has been reference in some of the comments to requesting a contested case hearing request. Just as a reminder, those requests have to be put in writing, but tonight is not your last opportunity to request a contested case hearing. Right now is just last opportunity, as we know it, for comments to be entered into the record. But if you are wishing to request a contested case hearing and you say so verbally, be sure to follow up in writing. Yes, sir. You're Mr. Miller?
Yes.
Okay, first and last name.
My name is Steve Miller. I live about 7 miles north of where the proposed plan is going to be, and I want to state my opposition for it, but I also want to say that I worked for 30 years for Plyler Construction and was a part of building many of those plants that were there, TI, MEMC, LOF, CertainTeed, all of those plants that are a part of the SEDCO. I was in most of those plants. And although I'm very proud of that, I also seen some of the things that a lot of people didn't know about. I was the one that was called when, and I'm going to talk about two plants that are not existing today that are not here. There's a lot of plants that have been here, Folgers, LOF, CertainTeed, Oscar Mayer. Those plants are no longer a part of Sherman. But I was at CertainTeed when the bag plants caught fire, the ones that were supposed to be scrubbing the air quality, all the insulation, and you've never seen such a black fire as there was. There was no air quality control that day. There was nothing that you could do other than stand back and watch it burn. I was also called on my birthday, December the 17th, when Oscar Mayer experienced a catastrophic ammonia release because a pipe had split. No one knew it was going to happen. All of that ammonia was released. I was the third person that was called and probably the second person that was on that job site that night. And for 3 months straight, 24 hours a day, we worked. You could see where the ammonia went. And no one's addressed the fact that y'all are going to use ammonia at that plant. Is that correct?
They won't respond at this time. But continue.
According to what I saw, they are going to. You could see the trees were laid bare. And I was very proud to have been there. I was the one who went in and helped try to shut off the valves, close the ammonia leak down. I was there. And I was proud of being able to be a part of construction. But I also want you to know that I object. I had to retire because of health reasons after 3 open heart surgeries and 32 stents. And I don't want that in my backyard.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Am I correct in referring to you folks as commissioners? No. Okay.
They're not.
Board members.
The agency, the commission,
agency.
Staff.
Okay.
State your first and last name.
My name is Bobby Overby Sr. I live 6/10 of a mile north of that proposed plant. My wife, my children, their wives, my 5 grandchildren, and my mother, my brother, and his wife live right there together. I spoke about the dust and the noise. I know you can't. I don't understand why you don't have something to do with that dust. But I don't know if Mr. Bender remembers speaking to me. Do you, Jake? You do? Remember sitting in the pew at the church, and I asked you, why on earth would you want to come to this place? The Golden Triangle. Remember that? You remember what I said? Well, why on earth would you want to build a plant at the very north end of that triangle when there's already 3 kilns in Midlothian? There's already one in Ada. And I've hauled hundreds of thousands of tons. I was a locomotive engineer for 40 years. I've hauled cement both ways. Why would you build it up here and then have to ship it to all points south? No, that doesn't make sense to me. How many trucks? We haven't even addressed that. How many trucks would be coming in and out of that plant? What did you tell me? Do you remember?
So he's not going to respond.
Okay, he's not
going to
respond. I remember. 150 a day, and that doesn't count what I've been told of the better limestone that they would be trucking in. Is that so? I don't know. But there is one thing I do want to know. If they're granted a permit here to dig that limestone, if they're granted that permit, does that allow anyone in this county or them to go anywhere else in this county and start a quarry? I want to know that. I've been told that. Is that true?
Your response will be in writing.
Okay, thank you. But one last thing, if I've got 30 seconds. Sherman has been, they've told me this has been going to be the Silicon Prairie. Right? Well, if this place goes in, it'll be the Silica Prairie because nobody will be here except us and the dust.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Our next group of people, listen for your name. Shelley Luther, followed by Del Prisak, Delfina, Zach Pauline, Linda Strawn Russell, Wyatt Watson, and Kevin Wilson, starting with Ms. Luther. And there are some seats up here if you want to sit and wait or if you want to go in line. Okay, you may approach the mic and state your first and last name.
Hi, my name is Shelley Luther. I'm actually the Republican nominee for the House District 62. So
her time is going.
No, it's all right. So I was going to talk about how you guys aren't good at filling out an application, and it's in English, our first language. There are times that I'm thinking, well, maybe they just didn't understand, or it looks like you're not being very forthcoming or lying. And that is something that we don't do well with here in Grayson County. Secondly, I'd like to say that for someone that checks over and you're responsible for the information that they give you, someone else might have your job because they have turned it in several times and it's not been correct. The other thing I want to speak a little bit personally about this. My husband and I actually spent $80,000 to get custody of his son, to get him somewhere else, to put him in a safe environment here. And now you're going to build a plant that's going to affect his health and our health. And it's actually really sad that you just look down and writing stuff and not looking me in the face when I say, how do you sleep at night? How do you sleep at night knowing that look at all these people in the eye. How do you sleep at night knowing that you're going to affect the health of these people while you sit there and write your paper? You should be ashamed of yourself.
Okay, thank you. Next, Delphina. And Delphina, Del Prusak, and you can adjust the microphone.
Hi, I am Del Prusak, and I live 5.5 miles from the so-called plant that y'all are building. And my concern is y'all want air quality, right? Well, everybody has to breathe the dust. Now, that's number one. Number two is water quality. Everybody has, they have cattle. What are the cattle going to be drinking? Clay? I mean, you might as well just forget about them having a cattle thing. And also all the errors on the application. I mean, you know, I was reading through it and I got upset. And yes, I did call the governor's office. I called Ted Cruz. I called Pat Fallon. I called everybody. Because this is important to me. I have 2 grandkids and I don't intend to lose my grandkids because of y'all approving this permit here. Because y'all need to make note that we all have children. We all have health. I have asthma. I had to use my inhaler a minute ago. But I have asthma and I don't intend to have any more health issues added to myself. And our church, there is a historical marker there. And for that school, our church is about 100 plus years old. And how are we supposed to hear our sermon if they're going to be blasting 24/7? How is it going to affect people going to our church? And it is the First Baptist Church of Dorchester. And I am very concerned because, I mean, it's just not right for y'all to do this. Come in and say, I'm going to put this in the middle of town of Dorchester. Well, it affects a lot of people. How Gunter, Van Elstein, I mean, it affects a lot of people. And y'all don't even realize that. Because when the wind blows, and the wind blows very hard here, it goes everywhere. Everywhere. There's nothing. And what I don't understand, we got Hagerman Wildlife. We have our cattle. I mean, these people work hard to maintain their ranches. And I don't understand at what level are y'all looking at this? And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Zach Poling is next. Zach? Next person.
Good evening. I'm Zach Poling. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dorchester. I'm also a board member for First Class North Texas, which is the school that meets at our church. I want to thank you for being here. To all the citizens that are here, thank you on behalf of my church for showing up, for representing the county. I'm not going to speak to regulations. I don't do that. We didn't teach that at seminary. So I want to talk to you on a spiritual level. I'm a pastor, so I'm going to talk to you about 3 things. We like 3 points. I'm not going to take up all of your time. May give an altar call when we're done. I've maintained a good relationship with Jake, with some of the other members of their organization. They continue to say we're taking it well as a church. You guys are here to make a ruling, but I will tell you the ruling actually lies in the hands of my boss, God Almighty. But I want to encourage you, as you have considered that this is going to be, it's in my backyard, where my kids play, where my church meets, where we congregate, where our school has recess, where we educate our children. And I know that you've been notified about that as TCEQ, and I know you know about that, Jake. We know we're on opposite ends of this. So I want to ask you to take another thing into consideration, three things. The first one is, you're about to lay your hands on the bride of Jesus Christ. That's my church. And you very well may make her homeless. If you fear God, you need to take into consideration what her husband, Jesus Christ, thinks of that. Because I don't think he's amused. The second thing I would tell you is the command of our Savior is to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's been asked a couple of times. I want to do it one more time. This is in my backyard. If you love me as yourself, what if it's in your backyard? You're sitting and you're going to make a ruling and you've said you're going to consider this. So that tells me at some level you have judicial oversight over the application. So you're sitting there and it's in your backyard. What is your final verdict going to be? If you love me as yourself, you're not going to treat me any different than you would treat yourself. The third thing I will tell you is that there is coming a day very soon when we will all stand before our Maker and give an account to Him for the affairs of mankind and how we conduct ourselves. Are you right with Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins and turned to faith in Him? That's the only hope we have, but I would ask you to consider, you will give an account for how you ultimately rule on this matter and how it affects His bride, so please take that in consideration. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Linda, are you Miss Linda? Are you Miss Russell? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Linda Strawn Russell. I am strongly opposed to the building of this cement plant at the corner of Highway 902 and Taylor Road. I grew up in the Dorchester community on Strawn Road. Along with my three brothers and my sister, we were very happy living on this farm. My mother grew up on Taylor Road. There are many members of the Taylor family that still reside along Taylor Road. The building of this cement plant would be very devastating to this entire area, to the farmers, to the business people, to the school children. So we are very strongly opposed to this. As you have heard before, there are many high-tech businesses going in, including the TI semiconductor plant, which this would have a very negative effect on that. Another concern that you have heard and I want to voice too is about health issues. The dust, the chemicals that will be emitted will certainly help affect the health of not only the people in the Dorchester area, but throughout the county and ultimately many, many miles away. Another concern is the noise, the blasting, the digging. And then this also leads to traffic problems, the traffic congestion, and just hearing all those heavy trucks going up and down the highways in this area would be very disturbing and annoying. Another concern is about the water. How much water pollution will be caused by building this plant? How much water will be needed? The way I look at it, Black Mountain will spread a big, wide, black cloud all over Grayson County. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Watson.
Hello, I'm Wyatt Watson. I am the project manager and engineering director for Global Wafers America. That's the facility you may have seen on FM 1417. Actually, that facility you see is actually one of only three buildings that we intend to build on that site for a total of $15 billion investment. It's a new building, but we're not new to the area. Whether it's under the name of Global Wafers or Global Tech, MEMC, or even TI Silicon, which we purchased, we've been growing silicon in Sherman, Texas for 50 years. So coming to the U.S., or coming back to the U.S. with this industry, we looked at, well, multiple countries and multiple states. There's a reason we came here. It's not just because it's a great place to be. It's because we know that this area has the requirements for this process. There's only 5 people in the world that actually even do what we do. It is not an easy thing to do. To give you an example of our process, for the crystal growth, we take a piece of silicon about the diameter of your pen. We dip it from a 20-foot cable into a molten bowl of 2,500 degrees silicon. Over 3 days, we pull this out of this process, ensuring that every atom is in its location, so that we pull out about 100 or 850-pound ingot that has a perfect crystal structure. It is very difficult to do. It requires complete isolation, complete vibration, and sensitivity to the area. If you look at the building we've built on 1417, you may notice about 25% of it is larger than the rest. All of that is done for vibration isolation. So for each one of these 100 crystal pullers we have, each one sits on a 15-foot cube of concrete, which rests on a 6-foot thick pad of solid concrete, which under that we have 4 piers for each puller going down deep into bedrock. But you could jump up and down, so put a sledgehammer down, whatever you want next to that, and you will not feel it on that puller. We are completely isolated from the surrounding building and from the surrounding community so that we can come in this area and we can produce successfully without affecting the neighbors. But we cannot isolate from bedrock. And so our concern with this application is that if the air permit is approved, then necessarily blasting will occur as well, blasting in the exact bedrock that we've been anchored to for the last 50 years. So the problem we have is not an annoyance problem. It's a physics problem. We simply cannot grow crystal if we have a vibrating molten bowl of silicon. It just simply won't work. So while we understand the restraints that you may have and the technicalities of the regulation, we respectfully ask that you would consider the reality of the decision you're making. You would consider the consequences of the decisions you're making. So for us, it's existential. If we cannot grow silicon, we cannot operate in this area. And we will simply have to move. That's not just a risk to the billions of dollars we've invested into this. It's a risk, as the senator put it, to the United States, because we are the only semiconductor facility coming to the United States. And if we're not coming and if we can't produce here, there's no one behind us. Thank you for your consideration.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wilson. Yes, sir. First and last name.
Kevin Wilson, excuse me, superintendent of the Howe Independent School District. I was going to address the inaccuracies on the application. I think that's been duly covered. I will point out that our Board of Trustees adopted a resolution in March of 2022, shortly after we learned of the proposed site, due primarily to concerns. We have 2 current school buildings, approximately 4.5 to 5 miles from the proposed site. We also have 4 dedicated sites that were given to us in 2011 that range from 2 to 4 miles. One might be a little closer than that. My mapulator skills are not great, but it's right at 2 miles, I can tell you that. I've heard that, you know, I'm no environmental specialist, never claimed to be, but I've heard that the air quality as it meets the property line will meet minimum standards. I can tell you the students of Howe ISD deserve more than minimum standards. Also understand that there's a natural resource under the ground in Grayson County. Please don't jeopardize our most precious resource, which is our children.
Okay, the next group of people, listen for your name. Kit Grice, followed by Tanya. Is it Textile? Carl Kalbaflesch, something. Maria Schnitzker and Brad. Is it Schnitzker? Am I close? Okay, come on up, line up. Kit Grice is first. Is that you, sir?
Very well.
Okay, first and last name. You may begin.
My name is Kit Grice, just like the young lady said. My wife told me to be very careful with what I say, and she is a very wise woman. So I will be very careful, and I will lighten things up a little bit and use some common sense. We do not want this facility. Where is OSHA, ACLU, and PETA when you need them? I would, not to pick on this young man, but I would like to ask him if he's ever been to Marathon, Texas. But he can't answer, so I'll answer for him. He's not ever been to Marathon, Texas. There are more people in this room and live in Marathon, Texas. Marathon, Texas is in Brewster County. Brewster County is the largest county in Texas by area. There's almost as many people in this room as live in Brewster County. I Googled it too. Plus, I lived there for a while. So, thank you. I think I've got one more. I wrote it down. Most of the stuff's already been covered. Well, thank you. I think I'll leave it there. I think that's enough common sense.
All right, thank you.
And by the way, you're doing a very good job, ma'am.
Thank you, sir.
I worked for the government 37 years. I know some of the bull that goes on. You're doing a good job.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. First and last name.
Hey, good evening. My name is Tanya Troxell. I wanted to just go over a few of my concerns with the building of the kiln cement plant in the Dorchester area. Just so a little background, I've been in this county my whole life. My family has been in this county their whole life. My father is one of the last people that went to Dorchester School. We have been around this county for our whole lives. The pollutants, my number one concern is the pollutants that are going to be coming out of this kiln. And while, yes, I understand that they will meet the EPA required standards when they meet the property line, I would like to know how that happens, because I've been trying to protect my property line for years from coyotes, wild pigs, you name it. I can't stop stuff from coming across my property line. So I'm sure birds flying through the air and the dust is going to get here, because the Sahara Desert dust makes it to my house. The other part I want to talk about is the nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide, and carbon monoxide. For those of you that don't have chemistry degrees, those are pretty dangerous chemicals. Contributes to ground level ozone, acid rain, global warming, water quality, and deterioration. It affects our rural farming in our family area. The ozone prevents photosynthesis from crop growth and grass and hay production. So if you raise cattle, you know what that means, and hay is already expensive. Affects livestock grown and raised in the area through lungs and breathing issues. We raise registered Hereford cattle. Those cattle go anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000. There's a few that have gone even higher than that. Got some fellow partners that raise them here in the county. If you're going to cause a problem with my cattle, you're going to pay me for my cattle. So when one dies because it can't breathe, or it can't grow, because it won't eat, because it can't breathe, that's an issue. It affects my family and my quality of life. Some of the other researchers have observed through elevated nitrogen dioxide or nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide, and carbon monoxide, there have observed elevated risk of ovarian cancer near such areas, and you can find that on epa.gov and springerlink.com. The last thing I really want to talk about is, in this county, we have 1.2 million bushels of wheat in our food supply. We average, that's what we sell, average, out of this county. Total grain we do here is 2.34 million bushels of grain every year come out of this county into the food supply, and the cattle food and the pig food and the goat feed. We sell about 30,000 cattle out of just this county into the food supply. That's pretty significant for a little county. You're going to affect my quality
time
of life.
If you want to make a last statement.
Yes, you're going to affect my quality of life and the way my family feeds its family. We've been on that land for over 40 years. We're going to stay on that land for another 40 years, and I'm not going to do it with not being able to feed my family.
Okay, thank you. You, Mr. Carl? Okay, and then pronounce your full name, especially your last name, for me.
Carl Kelbfleisch. My wife and I, we moved to Grayson County a little over 3 years ago, and we've become very active in the community, attending political events within the community. We recently attended the one of the party conventions. We've attended the Senate debate, and I don't know where the applicant is from. You guys from Austin, this is a big, big crowd. I can tell you all of these other events I mentioned, there's order of magnitude more people here. I should probably just call for a show of hands if anybody here is in favor of this plant, aside from the four gentlemen here, because I think we all know the answer to that. I came during the Q&A and was asking about the monitoring, and my concern is that the monitoring that was described in the answer is that the company would monitor. The data would go to the government someplace, and somebody would analyze it. But it wasn't really stated clearly that any type of public record of that monitoring would be available. And what if it's not monitored? What if they don't meet these criteria that are very nebulous to us? Then what happens? A warning? A fine? What do we do when our friends and our neighbors and our kids are sick? And we've heard all these concerns of cattle and things, but what happens? These guys have money. If they get a fine, they'll just pay it and they'll keep on going. So we need external controls, public records, open information. We're a conservative group, and one of the things that we believe in is transparency. So if we're going to have monitoring, we need to know what's going on with that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Marcy?
Hello, I'm Marcy Schnitker, and guys, I live about where my property line is probably 20 feet from where this facility is projected to be. I invite you to come to my property, fish in the pond. Well, I'll even let you pat my kids, show cattle, and show pigs. And I think maybe then you could see the detrimental effect that this is not only going to have on me personally, living so close, and my family, our way of life and agriculture, which Ms. Troxtel just so eloquently highlighted. However, our quality of life, the air quality, the water quality, all of the things that have already been highlighted. I'm going to quote you, sir, and say the tactical review of the application wasn't done well. There are so many errors in that application, and that alone should be enough to deny this permit. Aside from that, it's the rule of the law that we live in, right? Check the boxes. Follow the rules. But what about the spirit of the law? The spirit of these people in this room? We've spoken. I'm going to end with this, and it's a quote from Gandhi. Earth provides enough for every man's need, but not every man's greed. I would encourage you all to Google the High Roller Group, and I think you'll see Mr. Bender's face as the CEO, CFO, COO. He's one of the C's there. His picture isn't on Black Mountain. It's on High Roller Group. Check that out. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so here's my next group of people. Listen for your name. Is it, Brad Schneiker? You're going to pass? Okay, Billy Ingram. Is Billy here? Okay, and then Billy will be followed by James and Mary Lynn Donahue, Thomas Taylor, Michael Fannin. That is our next group of people. Yes, sir. Approach the mic, first and last name, and you may begin.
My first name is Billy. Last name is Ingram. I am a Howe City Councilman. I'm a Grayson County resident. I'm a husband. I'm a father. So I speak from all of those categories. I checked those boxes. I was not going to speak until Jeremy got kicked out. Then I was going to speak for Jeremy. Jeremy's back, so Jeremy doesn't need me to speak for him. We have a couple city employees here. They asked me to speak. Our fire chief wants to know where the water is going to come from. Our public works guys want to know where the water is going to come from. Where's the runoff going to go? If you have a fire, who's going to fight it? You're in Howe's Fire District. We don't have the equipment, funds, or resources. Your plant will burn. We can't fight it. All I'm going to ask you, do your job. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. Do what you have to do. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Donahue, James or Marianne? James? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, you're passing. Thank you. Thank you for alerting me. Okay. How about Thomas Taylor? Okay.
Good evening, and welcome to our town. My name is Thomas Leland Taylor III. I'm the eldest son of T.L. Taylor. I'm also the managing heir of the Taylor Farm. It consists of 106 acres that make up the east perimeter of Dorchester, all along Mackey Road. I have family that lives there, so they'll be affected. We have cattle, cultivation. So all the issues that have been brought up tonight speak to that. You're into air. I'm into air. I spent 40 years of my life as a commercial airline pilot. I've got over 20,000 hours of flying through the sky. I'm worried about the airport. What's to happen to the person who's in his airplane and he takes off and turns west? And there is a tower in front of him that's 387 feet tall. Maybe it's got a light on it, maybe it doesn't. But it's a hazard. What about the guy who's flying cross-country and wants to land at that airport? He's coming from the west, the northwest. How's he going to know for sure that that hazard to flight is there? That's a real thing. If you've ever been on an airplane and the sky's a little murky and somebody puts a 300-foot tower in front of you, that could ruin your whole day. So I'm just thinking, realize we have an airport. It's a sport airport. We don't have a control tower. We're not big town, we're little town. But we do have an airport, and it should be part of your investigation. Beyond that, you are doing a very fine job, and thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Is Mr. Fannin here? Okay, that's okay. Make your way carefully. Mr. Fannin will be followed by, is it Jalen DeVore, and then Jay Voto, and then Patrick and Loanne Latona. Okay, thank you.
Yes, my name is Michael Fannin. I heard y'all's introductories. I think there's over 80 years of experience sitting with three attorneys to your right. I don't know you, and you don't know me, you don't know us. So I'm going to put that out there to begin my conversation. I'll read some notes. It may be a little passionate. Tonight I'm representing many families, over 12, who own over 10,000 acres in Grayson County, many of it around this area. We're here tonight, the families I'm representing, to protect our families, our friends, our children, our grandchildren, I have 10 of them. Our lands, our crops, I heard you say crops. It makes my heart happy. And the lady that has cattle, taking care of our cattle up here. 30,000 head of cattle in Grayson County. That's a magnificent number, a beautiful number. I have something unusual that nobody else has. I have 1,200 acres growing 300,000 trees, 2 miles as the wind blows from this site. Put that on your notes. I'm going to use the word carbon footprint, and I want everybody to remember that. Please put that down, and I'll come back to that. They're beautiful, they're glorious, they're magnificent, and they go to our homes in Grayson County. We distribute them annually. I'm personally asking you to withdraw your permit tonight. As a man, as an individual, and 1 minute to go. Don't create something figuratively, or don't create a cloud over our community, literally or figuratively. Carbon footprint, that's my notes.
put carbon footprint on your note, put it in water, put it in air control, put carbon footprint, and ask them, how have they measured that and what is it? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is Jalen DeVore? He's gone? Okay. How about Jay Voto? Jay Voto pass? Okay. How about Patrick or Loanne Latona? Okay. Will it just be you, Mr. Patrick, or will Loanne, what could have her own opportunity?
Loanne?
Yeah, does she want to speak as well?
If the man
you can decide once he's done. Okay.
I'm here
maybe
to,
on how well he does, right?
My name is Patrick Latona. I was born and raised in Grayson County. I know a lot of these folks. Grayson County is a beautiful place. If you haven't been around it, you need to visit Hal, Van Alstine, Salina, Gunner, Whitesboro, Gainesville, Denison, Sherman, and go down toward Bonham, Hector, Savoy, Leonard, Trenton, and then step across Oklahoma. That's where I live. And to this Texas Air Quality Commission, whatever you do here tonight or whenever you make your decision, it's going to affect everybody in here. I'm here to support the town of Dorchester, and I believe David Smith had said that's about 100 people. My mother was a Baptist, so I want to support the Baptist Church. God bless her soul. But the decision that this board makes with these attorneys, whatever you do is going to affect all of my friends, these people here, my neighbors. I'm speaking from Oklahoma. I might be the only one here from Oklahoma tonight. But thank God that I am, because I'm your neighbor. And whatever affects you affects me. Every bit of it. The air quality, when Texas had all those fires out in West Texas, I could smell that on my front porch. It was terrible. There were times I probably couldn't even go outside. The air quality stunk. And you know how bad a skunk can smell. It was bad. Just the other night, with a little bit of rainfall and the wind and the dust coming out of Texas, I try to keep my wife's truck clean because she complains that it's not as clean as mine. I woke up, went outside this morning, it was covered with dust. And that was just from a little rainfall. What's going to happen when you get sulfuric acid? And sulfuric acid, we've had acid rain before. And we know what it will do to a paint job of a truck, a car, your house. It deteriorates your lifestyle. And what I'm concerned about, I know construction from the time you start digging dirt till you get a CO. And if people don't know what a CO, that's a certificate of occupancy. It means that you can open your door and conduct business. You're finished in construction. You're ready to conduct business. And you only get business if the people come to you and support you. We're not going to support this concrete company because it's going to affect the quality of our life. It's going to affect the quality of our health. And God bless everybody in this room. Thank you.
Let's see. Ms. Latona, do you want to speak in the past? He covered it? Okay. Our next group of people. Linda Evans. Is Linda Evans present? No Linda Evans. How about William Evans? Pass. How about Jody Perry? Okay, while Jody is making her way down here, Caleb Seastrunk and Delena will have that opportunity next. Is Caleb Seastrunk here? Thomas Horton, followed by Jim Witten. Thank you. Okay, yes, ma'am, we can adjust that mic. Let me know if you need help.
I think it's okay. All right.
First and last name, and you may begin.
My name is Jody Perry. I live in Luella. I bought a house a few years ago. I have lifelong severe asthma. I've been on ventilators. It's not pleasant. My quality of life is definitely going to be compromised if you actually get this permit and do your plant. I'm also very, very concerned environmentally with the flora and fauna, with the bees, who we, this is a very big issue, and the birds, and they all are affected. And I know you have all your numbers, but there's no real absolute and there's no guarantee. And this is going to affect the air quality, which this is about. But it's also going to affect the water. And I know you're not addressing that, but we are. And it's going to affect what goes into the earth. And what about your waste disposal? And is there going to be recycling? There's a lot of ramifications here on this whole eco chain. And it's not just bottom line. There is a whole eco chain going on that needs to be acknowledged and looked into. And I'm opposed to your having your permit. Okay? I think that's all.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. Caleb, C. Strunk, and or Delana. Is anyone making their way down or I'm going to pass? Okay, no one responding. Thomas Horton. Last call, Thomas Horton. Okay, that must mean you're Jim. Okay, come on down.
Hi, my name is Jim Witten, and I represent a client that I sold a piece of property to 20 years ago in 2004. It's 132 acres at the corner of Preston Road and 902. It goes all the way and abuts the property that y'all are developing. And we have sent letters in, obviously trying to oppose this development because when they bought this piece of property, they looked at it as a potential commercial corner at 902 and Preston Road. May not be 380, but at some point in time, that's going to be a big road because it goes a lot of ways east and a lot of ways west. And it's going to be a big intersection. And their intention was to sell the commercial property for some type of retail development or something on the corner, and the rest of the property be excuse me, some type of residential townhouse and multifamily. And I don't know any way that they're going to be able to develop this piece of property out the way they want based on this huge kiln property there. I'm in the real estate business. I understand development, and this is not a development that they want next to their property that they've owned for 20 years. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next group of people, let me see if you're still present. Wayne Lee. Is Wayne Lee present? Wayne Lee, okay. How about Don Horn? Okay, so Don Horn is going to be next up, followed by Crystal Lawson. Okay, I see Crystal's present. Manuel Watson. Go ahead, you can come on up. Manuel Watson, and then James, is it Parrish? Parrick and Angie Parrish. Okay, first and last name.
All right, my name is Don Horn. A lot of you know me as I was running for Congress this last season. I live just south of Mayor Smith's grain tower, about 3 to 4 miles south of there. I have 65 acres we bought in the mid-90s. We raised our kids there. We built a house. We have every day for years, my wife would come home and say, I just love this place. I just love this place. She didn't have to do the mowing. She didn't have to do the work. But I love the place, too. The the year before we bought our property, the price of the property was about $500 an acre. The year we bought it was about $1,500, and it went up to $10,000 an acre, and only God knows what the real value is right now. Now, let me hear, did I hear you right? You are a finance or money people that have never run a cement company before. Is that correct?
So they're not going to respond, but continue.
Well, that's fine. That's, consider that rhetorical. Why in the heck would you buy 600 acres? Now, one of my degrees is sociology. In sociology, you study what's going to happen in the future. In 1985, if you had bought 100 acres in Frisco, what is that worth, that land worth now? The land in Dorchester sits on the highest ground. It has an airport. It has access to two major highways, 75 and 289. It has 902 cuts across. It is one of the most perfect pieces of land in all of North Texas. The wind blows from Texas all the way to Oklahoma. Your dust is going to destroy everything there. But that land value is going to skyrocket. My thinking, I don't know if this is right or not, but you're going to put an obnoxious piece of crap company there, drive down the land value, buy up as much land as you can, then shut the obnoxious place down and turn around and make a fortune on the land. That's what I suspect. I don't know if that's true. Also, the Eagles and the Hawks and the Falcons, that is their winter nesting ground. My wife was screaming one day, and I ran over to see what happened. There is a female bald eagle sitting as close to me as this lady is, eating one of my chickens. But how often do you get to stand within 5 feet of a female bald eagle having dinner? That's what life is like out on our farm. The Hawks, the Falcons, the Eagles swooping through the pasture. It is a beautiful piece of property. And how do you get to get permission to put a cement kiln right in the middle of migratory birds' winter nesting grounds? That's what I'd like to know.
That's time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Oh, can I say one thing?
One final statement.
I want to say thank you openly to Reggie Smith and Drew Springer for all the hard work they've done on this. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Crystal Lawson.
Yes. Hi, my name is Crystal Lawson, and I'm kind of in a unique position. So I live 6.4 miles away from where this concrete kiln is going to be. And I'm in a unique position because, like these two gentlemen here and the majority of the people here, I actually understand the permit. And the reason for that is for the past 25 years, I have been working in this industry. I'm an environmental professional, an environmental scientist. I'm an environmental professional. I've worked in the environmental industry for the past 25 years. My master's degree is in it, and I've got an environmental law degree. And so I actually understand the permit significantly. And as the mayor of Dorchester, I highly recommend that you rerun the numbers because I did, and they are different. And when you're backed, when you put the best available control technologies in, I'm not going to say if they fail, it's when they fail, because when these technologies happen, it's not when, it's if, because when that happens, I'm the one that's get called. I'm the one that comes in and does the remedial actions. I'm the one that comes in and cleans up the mess. And it's always when, not if. And that's what I've seen. I've seen the ones down in Ellis County. I've been down there. I'm the one that's gone down and done cleanup. I've gone down there, and I'm the one that has gone down and done the remedial work. And I've seen the environmental impacts. And I've done the remedial works. I've done the cleanups, and I've seen it. I've seen the impacts. I know the human health effects. So I know, and I can speak from firsthand knowledge. And I've done this not only here in Texas, but across the nation. So I highly recommend, and I highly suggest that you deny this permit. There are many mistakes in it, and I know there are mistakes in it. I've done these permits before. I've done these permits before with the TCEQ. I've spent many, many, many hours on Gravel Drive, both 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I've done that. This is what I do. So from a professional standpoint, from my professional opinion, it's not if, it's when. And our community does not need this. Many of us moved out here or live out here to get away from this. We do not want to be like Ellis County. Do not let this happen to our community. Because, again, it's not if, it is when. And I don't want to be the one to hear about it or get called when our communities impact, when these technologies fail. Because, again, it's not if, it is when they fail. And do not let that happen to our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Manuel Watson present? Manuel Watson? I'm sorry? Oh, Manuel. Sorry. Manuel Watson. Okay. So I'm going to pass. How about James or Angie Parrish? James or Angie Parrish? Dennis Stengel? Stengel. Dennis. Larry Joe Duncan? Larry Joe Duncan. Tiffany Broyles? Okay. After Ms. Broyles, how about Peter Schultz? Is there a Peter Schultz? Okay, he's making his way down. How about Jim? Is it Schermbeck? Okay, so those are going to be our next three. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Broyles. I just wanted to, I wasn't planning to speak. This isn't really my forte, and I'm not going to be as eloquent as some of the other speakers tonight, but I do want to thank you all for your time and sitting here and listening to our opinions and voices. I also want to tell you that I respect your ability that you have had the ability to acquire wealth and that you're shrewd businessmen and have been able to spot a golden opportunity right here in Dorchester, right? But I come to you today as an ant in the anthill. Ants can be seen as a nuisance, maybe to you guys, but I am actually a board member of the FCNT school group that meet at the Dorchester Church. We have currently 129 students that participate cooperatively. Each of us are homeschool parents that take upon ourselves to educate our children, and we cooperatively participate in enrichment classes and community events and things like that at the facilities of the Dorchester Baptist Church. The Dorchester Baptist Church is a beacon in the community, not to just Dorchester, but Gunter, the Youth Sports Association, utilizes their facilities to practice basketball. They host a farmer's market in their parking lot. I don't believe that when you saw these people, these ants on the anthill, that you realized that they are, that you just thought, well, they're a nuisance, but the bigger vision here is our plan, kind of like what Mr. Ford, I believe his name was, is that he sees your intent. And I believe your intent isn't to coexist with us. Your intent is for us to leave. And so I just think that you should consider that this, like people have spoken to, that the property values, your property value has increased, and the property values of the owners around you will decrease, and this industry will only breed more industry. It's not going to bring amenities for our quality of life, like at HEB, that everyone so desires, right? It's going to bring more industry and more lining for for your pockets. I think that your intent was the church will move, the airport will move, the 150 residents of Dorchester will move, the children that meet at the church that use that facility, that is a huge blessing to our families and the community, will move. And you guys will have your thing. And as the senator said earlier, I believe that the right thing in the wrong place is the wrong thing. And I just hope that you'll consider that and recognize that there's ants here serving a purpose, and that you'll just see the human side of this, because coexisting really isn't an option.
Thank you. Next up, Mr. Schultz.
Hi, good evening. My name's Pete Schultz. I'm a Sherman resident, and I'm, director of the Austin College Center for Environmental Studies. I'm a biologist. I'm not an air quality specialist, but I teach an environmental policy class, and one of my sons just finished a PhD in air quality modeling, and I know that the models are very useful, but they also contain a lot of uncertainty. So when you make the response to the comments, if you would, in your professional opinion, identify what the major sources of uncertainty in the models are, whether it's in the input data or the parameterization of the models or the assumptions that the models make. Because these are not things that would take me a great deal of time to figure it out for myself, not being a specialist, and it would be harder for somebody who was less closely related to these kind of activities on a daily basis. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Howdy, everybody. I'm going to talk to these folks because what I say tonight not going to make any difference to these
first
folks.
And last name. Your comments should be addressed to the TCQ, but state your first and last name and definitely use the mic so it's recorded. And I will call time at 3 minutes. Go.
Jim Schermbeck. I'm here with a group called Downwinders at Risk. We're about 30 years old, and our founder was a woman named Sue Pope, who was a rancher who lived on the edge of the Holcim cement plant in Midlothian, Texas. She had a feeling that that was a problem. Sure enough, the explosions from the quarry have affected her foundation, but what really prompted her activism was a saying that she eventually adopted, which was, animals are the sentinels, because she saw the effects of burning hazardous waste in these kilns nearby, were the largest manufacturing center of cement in the whole U.S. And she saw the effects on her horses and her cattle first, how they had miscarriages, birth defects, problems breathing, whole new muscles in the horses from heaving so much. So we have quite a bit of experience with this, 30 years of cement plant history. I want to tell you just a few things. One, this is a political process. They use a lot of science and regulatory stuff, but it is a political process. Not to disagree with the minister, but the almighty in this situation is Governor Abbott. And I urge you to use the science as an excuse, but understand that it's your political power that will get this done. There is no such thing as a clean cement plant. There are upsets all the time. The standards they're talking about are outdated. I would be surprised if they knew if they used the new PM standard coming down from the EPA. They do substantially change the environment. There's no question. You open up this facility, it changes the quality of life in this county forever. I can guarantee you that. And it's Texas. These guys give out permits like candy. They always had a problem, but the last 30 years it's gotten out of control. There is no regulation for these facilities. No matter how, meeting the rules of the TSEC means nothing these days because they don't enforce them. Industry begets other industry. You open this guy up, other industries will follow. This is a sure thing. Look at what happened in Midlothian. There's not enough demand for this facility. It's being built on spec. That quarry will not provide the years of limestone they need. Look at the size of the quarries in Midlothian. They're thousands of acres big. You give them 600, they're going to want 6,000. There's not enough demand for the cement. They'd be building new kilns in Midlothian if there was. There's no other cement plant in Texas that just runs on gas. It's not affordable. It's not economical for them. They all burn waste. Waste tires, plastics, industrial waste of all kind. This is what you're getting, right? So it starts out like this. Nice local plant. Texas guys owning it. Gas, powered, clean. And what you get 6 years down the road is a German or French multinational.
Okay, so that's time. You can make one last statement.
Burning waste. That's what you end up with. So do not let them get their foot in the door. Stop this now. Only persistence will do this. Don't give up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Thomas Clay and Laura Barnett. Thomas Clay, Laura Barnett. Okay, followed by Liberty Johnson, and then Harold Foster, and then Sarah Campbell Stevens. Yes, sir. First and thank you for adjusting that. First and last name, and you may begin.
I am Clay Barnett. I'm obviously not Laura.
Sorry.
She already went home to take care of the children, but. We've heard a lot tonight about environmental concerns and the environmental resources that we have in Grayson County and about livestock. I want to talk a little bit about rooftops. So 22 miles south and west of this location is the city of Pilot Point. Pilot Point is the 40th fastest growing city in the state of Texas. It is growing at a rate of 30%. 17 miles south of this location is the city of Salina. Salina is growing, is the 10th fastest growing city in the state of Texas. It is growing at 100% every 3 years. 7 miles south and east of this location are the cities of Anna, Van Alstine, and Melissa, placed 20, 21, and 22 in the fastest growing cities in the state of Texas at 52, 51, and 50.6%. In 7 miles to the north and east of this location is the Sherman-Denison Metropolitan Statistical Area. That statistical area is the second fastest growing statistical area in the state of Texas. You guys are right here in the middle of all that growth. I don't know what your pro forma for a cement kiln looks like, but I have a pretty good idea what it looks like today building houses. And so if you have an interest in that, I'm sure the city of Dorchester would much appreciate some houses and some amenities as opposed to a cement kiln. So just something for you to think about as an alternative to a cement kiln. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson? Liberty Johnson? Okay, so that's a pass. How about, are you Mr. Foster? Okay.
Good evening. My name's Harold Foster. Most of my friends call me Carson. I go by my middle name. We've heard from our community here tonight and a lot of questions about what's going to happen. I want to provide a little bit of perspective from that standpoint. My family was heavily involved in the cement business. I'm not from Texas. I moved here from Michigan. My wife's a Grayson County resident. She grew up here in Sherman. She likes to say that she imported me, like that was something good. But I grew up in a small town of Charlevoix, Michigan. And for those of you that are not familiar with Charlevoix, Charlevoix sits at the tip of the mitt on one of the largest limestone beds in the country. And I grew up 5 miles from a very large cement quarry and kiln. My family, my friends' families, our community thrived from that cement business. But what we didn't realize as that benefit was taking place was the long-term effects that it was going to have on the community around it. That story down the road translates to another quarry that was nearby, which to this day, long after the quarry has been shut down, there is still toxic chemicals being leached into Lake Michigan. Now, Michigan's all about its water, something that we have an abundance of. I want you to imagine standing on the shores of Lake Michigan, looking out at a vast expanse of fresh water, and not being able to touch it, not being able to drink it, not being able to have your kids swim in it. That's the long-term effect that these quarries can have. The kiln dust that gets buried in the ground or disposed of leaches these heavy metals into our water system. And I know we've talked a little bit about water systems here tonight, but imagine Michigan being the water resource that it is and suffering from those problems. We don't have Lake Michigan here. We don't have the Great Lakes. That legacy, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, that's what's going to be left, is a toxic leaching problem. So I want you to think about that as you're considering the approval of this permit. I know this is an air permit, but I want you to think about that. My family, who is heavily involved in the cement business, it's something that we're not proud of. It's something that we're ashamed of. That's a legacy that you're going to leave. So think about that, about the community that you're going to affect. I want to thank you for your time tonight.
That's time. Thank you. Okay, how about Sarah Campbell Stevens?
Thank you, and I really
You can adjust that. Can you want to bring it down?
Okay.
Thank you. I'm Sherman, born and raised.
Can you move it? We're having trouble on the recording.
Yes, okay. Let me start.
There you go.
My name is Sarah Campbell Stevens, and I'm a community member, but I have a history with this community because I was born and raised here, lived away for quite some time, came home. But there is a history to this community related to bringing industries into the area that I'd like to share with you because it involved my father and it also involved our Mayor Plyler's father. There were a group of gentlemen in the Chamber of Commerce who worked hard and in a concerted effort back in the early 60s to bring and court these industries that we have been talking about here today. We are an amazingly small town with a huge amount of industry of worldwide knowledge. J&J and was here before for years and years, and then all of these new ones. And his father and my father made trips to wherever, getting Oscar Mayer, all the people of the business community, and we wanted an industrial base. But for this effort, you know, we've also got a wonderful college in town. It's a good small town. And I guess what I'm saying, too, is that we don't want to jeopardize these other industries. We don't want to run them off. We don't want to jeopardize our air and our children's quality of life. And so for this reason, I think that I just believe that it's not what Sherman, Texas has been about in its previous great run with having wonderful industrial base. And we appreciate your time here, but I just don't know if it's the right place for you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Jace Yarbrough. Is there a Jace Yarbrough present? I'm sorry? Coming down? Okay, perfect. How about Gabriel Williams? Gabriel Williams will be followed by Margaret Taylor. Yes, sir.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jace Yarbrough. I'm a candidate running to represent these good folks in the Texas Senate to replace Senator Springer, who spoke earlier. He's stepping down. If you'll permit me a joke at your expense, I appreciate as a new aspiring politician that you've given me an issue that everyone is pretty much unified on to talk about. But I do want to say in all seriousness, the scripture teaches just count the cost at the beginning before you set out on a project. And I will tell you that the sentiments that the senator expressed tonight will be the sentiments in my office. And so I will work very, very hard and do everything I can and that is within my power as the senator representing these good folks to give them what they want, which is that this kiln not exist here. So I want you to know that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, my name is Gabriel Williams. I realize I'm a little bit younger and less experienced than many of those I stand before and in front of. But I would like to just give a little bit of my input as someone who recently attained a psychology degree and is also part of the younger generation that doesn't tend to come to these things very often. Overall, I would say I am grateful for the economic opportunities. However, I also think that a lot of my generation, and of course those present, don't particularly appreciate the things that come with that. The ecological cost and just the health detriments that come along with it. As such, I would also like to bring in a little bit of my expertise, which is psychology. You may be familiar with the placebo effect. You may not be as familiar with the counterpart of that, the nocebo effect. If people believe there will be a negative outcome, they will subconsciously create a negative outcome. That can be for them trying to attain something like that next big promotion. They may subconsciously sabotage themselves. It's also true whenever it comes to health concerns. So even if your scrubs and your filters are 100% perfect, which unfortunately I know our science and technology simply isn't to that point yet, some people may still look at that factory, at that concrete plant, and they'll say, oh dear, it just doesn't look too good here. And before you know it, they'll get sick. not because of anything you may have done, but simply because it is there, it exists. And from their perception, from their point of view, it is going to make them sick. It's going to make them unhealthy. So even if you do everything right and it's within the parameters, you're still parking this big cement plant right in front of people's homes, in front of people's, just their day-to-day lives. And for those that have asthma or other things, even if you've done everything right, it may still impact them, even if only on that subconscious level, which can very much become physical. There's not too many studies about the nocebo effect because it's harmful, and psychologists can't study anything that could cause harm to the subjects of experiments. They can't do that. And that's why you may not hear about that kind of thing very much. But it is very much a real thing, and I would like you to consider that, especially whenever you're putting it in a place that is growing and could very much end up being surrounded by more and more people who could then come under this effect. Similar cases have happened, and mass psychogenic illnesses have occurred where, for no cause, no reason, everyone's coughing. A lot like COVID, but, of course, that had a real cause. This, it could end up being just another thing that happens, and no one would know why. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Margaret Taylor.
Hi, I'm Margaret Taylor, and I have a farm within half a mile of you. First, I'd like to say that if you ever didn't know it, Dorchester is the epitome of the little man that you are stepping on currently. Even though the resident looks like there's only, you know, 150 people that live there, there are branches that form out beyond Dorchester that allows us to have this much community. My grandparents have been there over, I think, 200 years. And as many times as I've thought, what am I going to do with that farmland? I never thought in a million years that I wanted a cement place beside it. I know that the fight that I will be fighting against you is one that my grandfather would have honored tremendously. But the other thing, just a small story about Dorchester, which is, once upon a time, Dorchester had two churches. Back in the day, when being part of a church meant it was your dichotomy. And when one church broke, everybody pulled together and fixed it. We are beyond religion, creed, or contest in Dorchester. And we will not let you be here. So please, we will fight to the death to get rid of you, or you can secede. So please, leave.
Okay, thank you. Is it Monty Walker?
My name is Monty Walker. I'm the city administrator with the city of Howe, the economic development director, the Chamber of Commerce president, Howe Athletic Booster Club president, Howe Ex-Students Association president. Anybody that knows me knows that I have a love affair with my hometown, the city of Howe. We've heard a lot about Silicon Prairie tonight. What I would like to talk about is they are our neighbors 4 miles from us. We are still a blank sheet of paper, so to speak, but we have so many opportunities because of the work that Sherman has done and the work that Governor Abbott has done. And I, you know, when I talk about the city of Howe, I also include Dorchester into that because I feel like they are part of us. And I've known David Smith, the mayor over there, and I've known his family for a very, very long time, my entire life. And I know one thing, you're probably messing with the wrong family, because those guys don't fight. They don't stop fighting. They just don't stop. And they've got massive heart. And if you thought you were going to come to a little podunk area and mess with a little small town mayor, you picked the wrong area. I also want to piggyback off of, you know, what Commissioner Whitmire so eloquently said earlier, as well as Reggie Smith, Drew Springer, Kent Sharp, You know, they're great statements that you're not going down without a fight. And I think they're pretty serious about that with all the equity that's involved that's supporting these. You said, somebody said earlier that I know you're worried about your shareholders, but this is Grayson County. We're the shareholders. You can take a look at this room 7 hours ago when we started and it was packed. We are the stakeholders here.
Okay, thank you. So at this time, I have called all those who have signed up and indicated. I don't have your timesheet, but your registration form, but that's okay. You can still come up. Okay, so your form must be somewhere, but I don't have it, so that's okay. You will start, and then others be thinking about it. If you haven't had an opportunity to speak but would like to do so now, then you're up next. So come up and state your first and last name real clearly, because I do have my registration people back there to look for your form.
Okay. Well, I'm just glad I'm here. I'm Jeremy DeVore.
Joel, is it can Jeremy?
Jeremy DeVore.
Okay, so they're going to look that up.
Can I hand y'all something?
Yes.
These things to look at.
And after they look at it, do you want me to enter that into the record, or did you want
sure.
it back?
No, they can have it. I got it.
Okay, so go ahead and state your name again and begin.
Jeremy DeVore. My last name is DeVore, but my heart is a Taylor. Taylor Road is the Taylor is the road that y'all want to build on. Grant, like my cousin said over here, it's a family area, and we love it. We are going to fight this stuff. If I want to start off. There's a lady named Heather back in December 3rd, 2021 that went out there and searched the area because there was a permit being done. And it said there's a church, a residence, and Texas Aerosports that are located adjacent to the site property line. The rural town of Dorchester is located directly south of the site. The impact of potential nuisance condition on the sensitive receptors, which is us that live there, receptors, what a great term, should be considered. I know that y'all's term is considered. You consider this, you consider that, and I can't see y'all consider anything yet. So that is on December 21st. So we go down to the PSD that they did. If you look on this, you can probably see y'all can. Y'all know what this is. But there's only one company mentioned in Sherman. I don't know how that works as far as emissions, but there's only Panda Sherman Power LLC. That's for the PM2.5. First, from 10 kilometers away, and they got 17.28. Well, in Dallas, they just happened to mention 8 companies. And when you turn around and you go to the PM 10, there's 14 companies they list. What do they list in around our area? 1. Sherman Power, Panda. That's it. I can make a list of companies that are within 10 kilometers of that location of us. One is Ameritex, which also in June 30th, 2023, they were told to put on the applicate or on the PSD, and it was not done. Air Liquid Electronics or Air Liquid Electronics is one other one. Globotex is another one. Quality Grain, that's a far one because that's about less than a quarter of a mile away from them. They have an air permit as well. Kaiser Aluminum, TI, the future TI, just to, put up thought about that coming in. Coherent, the multiple batch plants that we have around us. And then the only thing mentioned was Panda. There has been a plan on how much, you haven't made a plan on how much water you're going to get. Yet, the one key thing that, to start with, you have to have dust control. If you don't know how much water you're going to need or where you're going to get it, how are you going to have the dust control to even start this first part of the project? You can't have one without the other. But yet, y'all want to go ahead and skip from one to go to the other. My best thing is TCEQ. What y'all? Can any of y'all tell me y'all's mission statement? Can you talk to me? Can you tell me your mission statement?
They're not going to respond at this time.
They can't at all? Because I tried to get comments a while ago and I could not.
So, sir, your time is ticking. Please keep going.
I tried to get comments a while ago and I could not because we got cut off. So I was second in line.
Okay, your time is still moving forward.
All right, I'll tell you. TCEQ's mission statement says, strives to protect our state's public health and natural resources, consistent with sustainable economic development. Okay. And we have a lot of economic development going on right here.
Okay, so that's your time. Do you have a final statement?
That's it. Just a mission statement.
Thank you. Okay. So, did y'all find his registration form? Okay, so we have documents we want to attach to that. All right, yes, sir. Your first and last name so I can make sure they get your form.
Sure. Scott Horner.
Is it, how do you spell the last name?
H-O-R-N-E-R.
Okay. Did y'all get that? Okay. All right. One more time for the record, and you may begin.
My name's Scott Horner. I'm a resident of Grayson County. I'm entitled, as everybody here, to the quiet enjoyment of our property. You are entitled to the best use, productive use of your property. But that best productive use can't interfere with my quiet enjoyment, just like my quiet enjoyment is important. For me, it's why we moved to Grayson County. I sat in a hospital for several weeks every night with my son, who had respiratory disorder so severe that he was hospitalized, and my wife and I made a choice to move to Grayson County. If you put in the cement kiln, it has the potential to cause me to basically, you're basically constructively evicting me from my property, because silica dust, there's fugitive dust, which TCQ doesn't address, but there's silica in that fugitive dust, and there's also silica in the process that you guys managed through engineering measures and administrative controls to minimize with scrubbers, things like that, but there's also fugitive dust that blows off the stockpiles, that blows off the processes, that gets in the air, and silica is like little toothpicks that when we breathe, we breathe it in, it's respirable, we breathe it in, and it causes scar tissue in our lung sacs, and then that fills up, and then we can't breathe, we don't have the capacity to breathe like we used to. And that's why silica is bad. That's why we have hearings like this, to inform the public, to get comments. We don't do that for other, like water. That's why it's important. But we have vulnerable people, like my son. He inherited it from me. I'm borderline. But he inherited it from me, and there's other folks that I've heard here that are very close to the facility that are going to be directly damaged by the process. And plus, when there's one kiln, there's more to come. We see mental health in. It's going to happen. And one gentleman talked about a $15 billion business. My wife has a bee farm. And silica dust will kill a bee farm. My business is just as important, or my wife's business is just as important as yours. It's going to have an effect on a $15 billion operation, and it may have an effect on a $15,000 operation. But your business is not as important as mine. And when you move your business into here and you constructively destroy my business and evict me from my home, that's why I'm here, is to tell you that I object to this, and I'm asking TCQ to think about the receptors that are affected by the decisions you make, because it's just more than just me and my son. It's a lot of other folks here. And I ask the commissioners to exercise their right to ask the TCQ to do an environmental study. There's a lot of county commissioners that have done that with other projects. And you have the right to do that in this project.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else who hasn't had an opportunity to speak comments, please make your way to the front. If there's others, please make your way to the front and sit at these front chairs. Feel free to lower the mic. Okay, and did you fill out a registration form?
Yes. Diana.
Okay, your first and last name, so they can hear.
Diana Van Buskirk.
Okay.
Taylor. I'm one of those other Taylors.
Okay.
Like my daughter said, our family's been in Dorchester 200 years. But I want to tag team the guy before me. John Mansfield and Denison was closed years ago for asbestosis. The silica dust he talked about will do exactly the same thing. I've been a pulmonary nurse for years. And, you know, the commercials are on TV all the time. What, 30, 40 years since John Mansfield has closed. And they still haven't saved people with asbestosis. And we're looking at exactly the same thing for all of Grayson County and however far the wind in Texas blows. And our unofficial state motto is, don't mess with Texas, so don't mess with Texas. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else who has not had an opportunity, as we know it today, it is the end of the comment period. Have you spoken earlier?
I asked a question earlier.
Okay, no, that's fine. Did you fill out one of the registration?
I did.
Okay, so real clearly, your first and last name so they can find it.
Amber Bratt. I came up here earlier asking a question. I implied that I had a chronic illness. I am in my 30s with cystic fibrosis, and I have been severely scarred and due to my lungs. With that being said, I don't want to come at y'all in anger. I just want to appeal to your human side. As somebody with a chronic illness in her 30s, I've had many years of hospitalization, 2 to 3 times a year. I've also had my lung collapse twice in a matter of a week. That led to a surgery that has now caused my right lung to be basically of no use. So I pretty much function on one lung. That being said, as it is, Texas is already hard enough sometimes with the bipolar weather that we get. And the quality of life for people like me and those who have other compromised immune systems, let's just say that it's a struggle already. And taking the fact in that someone who has been through enough and already has to deal with a lot, my family basically told me to come here and show y'all my oxygen needs and everything, but I choose not to do that. I choose to come up here because the way I do things is I don't let my health control me. And that being said, I don't want this plant to control my health. So I would just really greatly appreciate if everyone could consider, as a human, the emotional and physical toll that it'll take on people like me and just me in general. And that's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Others? Anyone who has not had an opportunity to speak, formal comment? Okay. If you have written comment, did you make formal comment yet? Okay. Okay. So I'm confused. Did you speak oral comment earlier? You mean like during the question and answer session? Okay. Oh, okay. So now you want to do the form. Okay. So tell me your first and last name real clear again, and you may adjust the mic.
Delphina Pricelock.
Okay.
Okay. My question to y'all is the fracking that's going to happen whatever you want to call it, cement place or Black Mountain. Our homeowner's insurance does not cover fracking. And I know that for a fact because I called them. And y'all need to take that into consideration that, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of homes, and fracking. We've had 2 tremors already, and that's going to cost more. So, I mean, what are we to do when we don't have coverage?
Okay, thank you. To my registration staff, she was a repeat. She was already have her form. She spoke earlier. Okay. Anyone who has not had an opportunity but would like to do so now. Okay, let's talk about the next step of the process. As staff mentioned, tonight is the end of the comment period. If you already wrote comments to the TCQ online, then you're part of the record, you're part of the mailing list. If you submitted comments in writing tonight at the registration table, or you checked the box add to the mailing list, or you spoke formal comment in this period we just went through, you're automatically on that mailing list. So then you will be looking for in the mail the next step, which is the written response to these comments and questions that were presented during this formal comment period. TCEQ staff, we need to break down our equipment, so we will be here for a few more minutes. If you didn't have an opportunity to ask a question,
feel free to approach staff to ask that question. But we do need to pack up and gear up. And I appreciate your participation, your courtesy, and certainly turn in any paperwork that you have, and safe travels home. I am going to officially, and we definitely, obviously, on behalf of all of you and ourselves, appreciate all the officials, Representative Smith, Senator Springer, and all the other local officials. Safe travels. And with that, I close the public meeting for BM Dorchester LLC. Application for air quality permit. Permit numbers 167047, PSDTX1602, and GHG PSDTX212. Thank you so much.